I shall cautiously refrain from any word that may tend to influence your suffrages in the election of an emperor. My choice might be imprudent or injudicious, and if it should not be ratified by the consent of the army, it might be fatal to the person whom I should recommend. I shall only, as a good citizen, express my hopes that the Romans may be blessed with the government of a virtuous sovereign." After this discourse, which Julian pronounced in a firm and gentle tone of voice, he distributed, by a military testament, the remains of his private fortune. And making some inquiry why Anatolius was not present, he understood from the answer of Sallust that Anatolius was killed, and bewailed with amiable inconsistency the loss of his friend. At the same time, he reproved the immoderate grief of the spectators, and conjured them not to disgrace, by unmanly tears, the fate of a prince who in a few moments would be united with heaven and with the stars. The spectators were silent, and Julian entered into a metaphysical argument with the philosophers Priscus and Maximus on the nature of the soul. The efforts which he made, of mind as well as body, most probably hastened his death. His wound began to bleed with fresh violence. His respiration was embarrassed by the swelling of the veins. He called for a draught of cold water, and as soon as he had drunk it, expired without pain, about the hour of midnight. Such was the end of that extraordinary man, in the 32nd year of his age, after a reign of 1 year and about 8 months from the death of Constantius. In his last moments he displayed, perhaps with some ostentation, the love of virtue and of fame, which had been the ruling passions of his life.
The pressing need following the death of Julian was to select an emperor worthy enough not just to succeed such a figure, but also to succeed in the war against the Persians. The tribune Jovian, a soldier general who, Gibbon relates, indulged his taste for wine and women and yet supported with credit the character of a Christian and a soldier, was chosen. Jovian's reign was brief, between AD 363 and AD 364, during which he accepted a humiliating peace with Sapor, monarch of Persia, ceding to the Persians 5 provinces, including several citadels of impregnable strength.
It was considered as an indulgence that the inhabitants of those fortresses were permitted to retire with their effects. But the conqueror rigorously insisted that the Romans should forever abandon the king and kingdom of Armenia. A peace, or rather a long truce, of 30 years was stipulated between the hostile nations. The faith of the treaty was ratified by solemn oaths and religious ceremonies, and hostages of distinguished rank were reciprocally delivered to secure the performance of the conditions. Sapor enjoyed the glory and the fruits of his victory, and this ignominious peace has justly been considered as a memorable era in the decline and fall of the Roman Empire. The predecessors of Jovian had sometimes relinquished the dominion of distant and unprofitable provinces. But since the foundation of the city, the genius of Rome, the god Terminus, who guarded the boundaries of the Republic, had never retired before the sword of a victorious enemy. After Jovian had performed those engagements which the voice of his people might have tempted him to violate, he hastened away from the scene of his disgrace and proceeded with his whole court to enjoy the luxury of Antioch. The slightest force, when it is applied to assist and guide the natural descent of its object, operates with irresistible weight. And Jovian had the good fortune to embrace the religious opinions which were supported by the spirit of the times and the zeal and numbers of the most powerful sect. Under his reign, Christianity obtained an easy and lasting victory, and as soon as the smile of royal patronage was withdrawn, the genius of paganism, which had been fondly raised and cherished by the arts of Julian, sunk irrecoverably in the dust. In many cities the temples were shut or deserted. The philosophers, who had abused their transient favour, thought it prudent to shave their beards and disguise their profession. And the Christians rejoiced that they were now in a condition to forgive or to revenge the injuries which they had suffered under the preceding reign.
Jovian's short-lived reign ended in mysterious fashion. Gibbon relates that,
after indulging himself with the plentiful, perhaps an